This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcons tight end, and you're listening to TNT, Thursday Night Tailgate. Brace yourself for the explosion.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former tight end Reggie Kelly. Let me remind you about Reggie's background. He's from Aberdeen, Mississippi, played his college ball at Mississippi State, where he was named a first-team All-SEC player back in 1998. Graduated with his degree in industrial technology. He was drafted in the second round in 1999 by the Atlanta Falcons, and he played in the league from 99 to 2011 with the Falcons and the Bengals. Over the course of his NFL career, he played in 184 games, had 195 receptions for nearly 1,800 yards and 5 touchdowns. He was the recipient of the Ed Block Courage Award in 2007, which is voted on by your teammates and awarded annually to the player who is a role model of inspiration, sportsmanship, and courage. He now owns Kyven Foods, which has a wonderful array of home-style salsas, and spices. And we're excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Reggie, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Reggie.
Chris, Bob, how you guys doing? It's always a pleasure. It's been far too long for us to get together and have some good fellowship together.
It has. Reggie, it's been a minute since we got to have you on the show. Catch us up with what's going on with you and with the Kyven brand as well.
Well, we're just working extremely hard trying to expand the brand with my wife and I, starting a foundation, trying to leave a great legacy behind for our kids. And so that entails a lot of hard work, a lot of early mornings and a lot of late nights. But anything worth having is worth working for, if you guys well know. And as always, I am pleased. It's my pleasure to be on with you guys tonight. Football plus food equals so much fun.
It does. Reggie, I want to get your thoughts on your alma mater, Mississippi State. They're in the midst of a 6-6 season, a little tough play in the SEC, 3-5 there in conference play, but headed to the Music City Bowl to play Louisville on the 30th. Your thoughts, how do you feel about where the program is at?
Well, you know, I think that we are continuously rebuilding. I think that with a new head coach, with Moorhead, you know, he's doing a good job and bringing in the right kids that's going to fit his system that he's brought to Mississippi State. Obviously, he's an offensive guru that's trying to implement the system in the SEC, which is tough in of itself. But I think he's doing a good job. Obviously, we didn't have the season that we were projected to have or that we thought we would have. But yeah, we're still going into another bowl. I think this is maybe our 7th or 8th season back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back that we've been going to a bowl game. And so that speaks good in regards to our program. But we want to continue to get better and get to those days, those 1998 SEC Championship West days, and those days when Dak Prescott was there and we were ranked number one in the country. Chris, you think that's possible?
Reggie, in the SEC West, I don't know that they're, I mean, obviously the SEC, at least in my opinion, is the toughest conference in college football. But then when you get down to the SEC West, when you've got to play LSU and Alabama and Auburn and A&M, boy, that's tough.
Chris, I didn't ask for the long, elaborate, you know, speech. I just asked you.
You just wanted a yes or no?
I just wanted a yes or no, Chris. I'm hoping our friendship is on the line. But anyway, no problem.
Oh.
I'm asking for a yes.
I'm all Mississippi State, Reggie. That's go Bulldogs, my friend.
And Chris, you are a wise man. What you think about that, Bob?
I tell him all the time. Goes to his head.
Well, Reggie, you beat Ole Miss this year, so at least you won the Egg Bowl. I mean, when it comes down to it, is that the most important? As long as you win and beat Ole Miss, is that all that really matters at the end of the day? If you're not going to win at all, at least beat Ole Miss?
Absolutely. We can only win one game in a particular season, and if that game is the last game of the season, which is the Egg Bowl, then that's considered a successful year for our program. And it's just that we ended up on a good note. And a lot of my old, as a matter of fact, this last Egg Bowl that we had, and we beat the Ole Miss Rebels, the program decided to bring all of the 1998 team when we won the SEC championship, or the SEC West championship, and they brought us all to kind of like establish a great reunion. And man, I hadn't seen some of the faces in over 20 years and had an opportunity to just have a good time with my old teammates. And I also see us kick a little Ole Miss butt. And it was a great game, really great game. Left us on the edge of our seat, went down to the last second. And as usual, Ole Miss created a blunder and it propelled us to win the game. And I have no complaint.
Yeah, I was curious to get your thoughts because, you know, I mean, Ole Miss had an opportunity to tie the game. Their wide receiver who caught the what could have been the tying touchdown. A little antics in the end zone, pretended like he was peeing, you know, playing like a dog, like he was peeing in the end zone, and ended up costing him 15. They missed the extra point to lose. How satisfying was that?
But it was very satisfying, and you know what? That's the way it should be, and I hope that their players do more antics like that each and every year that we play them. You know, and we expect those type of answers from those type of people. No, just joking. I love Mississippi football. I love Mississippi sports, and I even love Ole Miss. You know, if anytime you can have a great rivalry between two historic teams and going back and forth, and it always brings us together. We always clown each other and are tough on each other. But at the end of the day, as long as Mississippi programs are doing extremely well, I'm all for it. But it's always good to have a little rivalry, always good to talk a little trash and have a little fun. And it's always good to hold that trophy and keep it for another year where it actually belongs.
Bob, questions for Reggie?
Reggie, again, it's always a pleasure to speak with you and happy holidays to your entire family. And we talked about the tight end position before, Reggie, how I basically love these lunch pail guys. And you know, I think it's a position where guys like yourself have to really, really be the ultimate team guys because we knew you could have caught a lot more balls than you did. But you play with guys like Chad Johnson and Hushman Zada who are just all-world receivers. Was there any frustration at all during those years in Cincinnati, Reggie, of not being thrown the ball enough? But in a way, when you had great receivers – but I know being a team guy, I probably know what your answer is going to be.
Absolutely. Well, you know, no, it really wasn't an issue because my teammates, they really respected me. Carson Palmer, which was my locker buddy, he gave me one of the greatest compliments a teammate can give a player. And he said, you know, Reggie Kelly is the best teammate I ever played with. He's unselfish. He does everything that the team asks him to do. And for me, that meant a lot. And I know he meant what he said because on Christmas he would always give me a Christmas gift with the offensive lineman. So he backed up what he said. and that let me know that he really did appreciate me. So I understood that you know when you have tons of talent and explosive players like a Chad Ochocinco or T.J. Houshmandzadeh, we also had Chris Henry as well. Rest in peace, mate. Right. Then you have Rudy Johnson in the backfield. At one point, we had Corey Dillon as well. Man, that's so much talent, and only so many guys can touch the ball. And I knew that those guys were explosive. I knew they were game changers, and I had to do my part in order to help our quarterback get the ball in those guys' hands. And if that meant blocking, then so be it. And here and there, they would throw me my little morsels, my little crumbs here and there, and I took them and ate them up whenever the opportunity. But, you know, I'm a small-town country boy from Aberdeen, Mississippi. It's always been a dream of mine to play in the NFL. So once I actually made it, I saw no need for me to gripe or to complain because I was living a childhood dream that so many people wish they could live, and I wanted to hold on to it as long as I could. And I know that when you have a good attitude in the NFL, when you are a blue-collar type of a guy, you put on your steel-toed boots and put on your hard hat, and if you go to work and do all the nasty, dirty work that nobody wants to do, genuinely you're rewarded, you know, by owners and GMs because they see that a lot of players are not willing to do that. And when you stand out and do that and do the opposite of what most players don't want to do, you tend to have a lot of longevity in the NFL. And I was grateful for the opportunity to play with those guys and also with the Falcons doing the same job.
One of the pleasures we get on this show, Reggie, is talking to guys like you and getting their spin on teammates. And I want to talk about the aforementioned T.J. Houshmandzadeh, because he's one of those guys, Reggie, who I think never got the credit. I mean, again, Chad Johnson was probably the marquee name at the time, but I don't know if people realize that Houshmandzadeh was a seventh-round pick, ended up having a career where he caught over 600 balls, more than 90 catches three times, and he led the league in receptions in 07, seemed to me to do in a quiet way. Didn't have quite the yards per catch average as other guys, but man, was he a steady player.
Man, he was an outstanding player. And when I first got to Cincinnati, TJ really didn't get much playing time, stayed injured a little bit. But once he got rid of that injury bug, we saw the talent that he had, and he put that talent on display each and every week. And he played with tons of passion, tons of passion, played almost like a linebacker in a receiver's body. TJ was a technician, worked extremely hard. Before practice, he would be doing the quick feet ladder drill to get himself right. After practice, he would be running sprints with Chad and then also Carson. And when I said the perfect route runner, he took a lot of pleasure in having the best feet on the team, as he used to call it. Him and Chad used to go back and forth every day. Who has the best feet? Who has the best hip? Who can transition in and out of the breaks? And they competed against each other in practice, and it showed up on the game field. And I must say, TJ was our unsung hero. This guy did everything that a lot of receivers won't do either now. He was a big, strong receiver that would block and would hit you in the mouth, would run over you, but catch the tough passes over the middle, which a lot of receivers back in our times didn't want to do, especially when you had headhunters back then that could really lay you out.
So, Reggie, when you look back over both teams you had an opportunity to play for, Cincinnati and Atlanta, like I say, neither one is probably had the kind of season that they had hoped for. Which one of those two teams do you think is on the track to make it back to the playoffs first?
Well, that's a tough question. That's tough because every year, you know, every year brings a new change, brings a new energy, a fresh outlook. With the Falcons, I think a lot of us were disappointed and are disappointed in the way that the season has gone, especially with so much talent, and especially with a good coach like Dan Quinn. You know, he's well respected in the locker room. A lot of fans here in Atlanta may not see his work, but he is actually a really good coach and a really good motivator. And they have the players, and there hasn't been that much of an injury bug. It's been a small one, but you expect injuries throughout any NFL season. And it's been sort of a disappointment that they haven't performed the way that we all thought that they would perform. And they do have a chance to possibly hit the 7-9 mark this year. That's a possibility that may happen. Look like they're coming on strong. But I don't know, man. I don't know. Our hopes have been up for the Falcons. Things are not quite panning out the way that we thought that they should pan out. Now, Cincinnati, anytime you have a new coach coming to a new team, you know that sometimes you may experience some struggles the first year, maybe even going into the second year, and then things start to mold together. With a young coach like Coach Taylor, a young, energetic, creative mindset that he has, I'm thinking that team's going to bounce back and going to be a team to reckon with sooner than later. He just got to get a few key pieces to the puzzle to help his offense and also to help his defense as well. I would say Atlanta has all the key components right now. Just something has to click for them to put it together. So I think Atlanta probably would be first to get things rolling, but Cincinnati is not far behind, in my opinion.
And Reggie, when you were here in Atlanta, you had an opportunity to play for head coach Dan Reeves. Dan's a wonderful friend of the show. I wanted to get your memories and thoughts of what it was like playing for Coach Reeves.
Very tough. Coach Reeves is a hard-nosed coach, and I love him for drafting me. I love Coach Reeves for instilling discipline in me. I love Coach Reeves for pushing me and pushing the team to be the very best. He's a tough coach, and anytime you have a tough coach, that's not going to allow you to accept anything, not going to allow anything except for your best. Doesn't matter how hot it is outside, we're going to practice, and we're going to practice until we get it right. Even if we had to run it over and over again. You know, he was an offensive guru as well that felt like any play that he ran, we should dominate the defense, regardless if he ran that play 5 straight times. And he would prove it in training camp, and training camps were tough as all outdoors. But that made me a tough-minded player, and it helped me when times got tough. And I owe a lot to Coach Dan Reeves, man. He's a good coach. I don't think he gets the credit that a lot of great names, when you think about coaches, I don't think he gets the credit that's due to him. But being a player that played under him, I love his tough-minded, old-school, blue-collar type of mentality. And it helped me so that when I left Atlanta and went to Cincinnati, I'll be honest with you, it was somewhat of a breeze to me because I was already acclimated to coming into a program a program that may not be doing well as Cincinnati was, and to still step up and grind and fight and work extremely hard so that my teammates could follow me. So Coach Reeves is a great man of God, too, great man of integrity, and he loves his players. And who could ask for a better coach?
And Reggie, we were talking about the great season Lamar Jackson is having at the top of the show, and a lot of comparisons from a running style perspective to Michael Vick. You had an opportunity to play with Mike Vick here in Atlanta. What was it like the first time you guys got together and you saw Mike Vick playing?
I mean, honestly, it was unbelievable. There were times where we would ask, you know, every coach tells you, you know, finish the play. So whenever you're having a play, whenever the quarterback calls the play, we break the huddle. Every coach always tell you, finish through the whistle. Finish the play through the whistle. Make sure that if you block him, block through the whistle. If you catch a pass, run through the whistle. Everything you're supposed to fight to the end of the play until the whistle blows. But let's be honest, man. When Michael Vick was on the scene, he brought so much excitement and so much electricity. There were times where I actually just had to stop mid-play and watch him work his magic. And trust me, the other nine players were doing the exact same thing because he was a one-man show. I'm sure that we remember the Minnesota game, Minnesota Vikings game. I think it was in 2001 or 2002. I think it was 2002 when Mike, I mean, it was a game where the game had went down to the line. Mike was dropped back to make a pass. Nobody was open. Mike took it on himself to run down the field, split two defenders, scored a touchdown, and propelled us to a win over the Vikings. He did stuff like that day in and day out, and it was really unbelievable because every game he did something new, something exciting. He was a wonder that the NFL had never seen, and now we have another kid in Lamar Jackson that's just ripping it up, man. If I'm not mistaken, he broke Michael's single season rushing record.
Right.
And I tell you, and still have some games to go. I tell you, this kid is phenomenal. He's proven a lot of doubters wrong. And you can tell he has a chip on his shoulder. You can tell he has a chip on his shoulder, and that's serving him well. He's doing some extraordinary things.
Reggie, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing, all the great things going on with the Kyven brand, whether it's on your website or it's on social media.
Well, guys, you can always follow me on Twitter at ReggieKelly82. You can follow me also on Instagram at ReggieKelly. My business name is Kyven Foods. We're located in Publix, Kroger. You can purchase us at Amazon.com as well. Appreciate all you guys' support. Thank you so much. And one taste, you'll appreciate the goodness.
There you go. Reggie, always a lot of fun having you as part of the show. Like we said when you first joined, I hope it isn't this long before you come back again because you're so much fun.
Absolutely. I love you guys. I appreciate all the hard work, man. You guys continue to do your thing. Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And God bless, guys.
Take care,
Reggie. You and Sheila and the rest of your family, Reggie. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to all of you. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right, take care, guys.
See you, Reggie. That's the great Reggie Kelly. Bob, you know, you've always had an affinity for the tight ends. Here's a guy, just like he said a moment ago, when he was in Cincinnati and the compliment he got from Carson Palmer, a guy who did anything that the team asked him to do, didn't question it, just went out and did it and executed at a high level. What a great teammate. That's all you can ask from a player. And Reggie was always there to get it done. And he's been a great friend of the show for a long time. Look forward to having him back.
And after we talk to him, Chris, we get even a more bigger respect because they say the same thing. I could have caught more balls, but I'm a team guy, and I didn't ever even thought about it. And that's Reggie in a nutshell. And always get some great insight from that man.
Yeah, we do. Look forward to catching up with Reggie soon. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to our five-star picks of the week with Tony on the other side of this station break.